and welcome to Ingrained Insights, a podcast for thought leadership in the snack and bakery industry. Today, I'm here with Purvi Patodia, CEO and founder of Vienna Snacks. Welcome.
Thanks. Great to be here, Jenny.
And it's great to see you again. We connected years ago at Sweets and Snacks when I was on another publication, and it's really cool to see the trajectory and the growth of the product from, you know, seeing it and sampling it at the show to seeing it on the shelf and end caps at Targets all over Chicago where I live. So congratulations.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's been quite the journey.
Well, maybe not everybody is familiar with the brand or the product. So let's start off with the very beginning. Could you please tell us a little bit about the years leading up to the launch of Vienna Snacks and how your snacking obsession kind of merged with your desire to have a broader array of healthy snacking options?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, you know, my background prior to starting Vienna was that I was working on, I was in the consumer product space working on some large nutritional food products. And this intersection between nutrition and food or health and food has always been just a personal passion of mine, something I'm very interested in. And it led me into this career where I was working on some, you know, big food products, working in some large CPG companies. But you know, during that time, when I was pregnant with my first child, I was trying to eat healthier. I was trying to snack healthier. I was, you know, watching what I ate. And I had this insight and this realization one day when I was looking at the back of, you know, looking at the nutrition facts panel of one of these snacks that I was eating when I was pregnant, which was just that a lot of these products are being marketed as being healthy. And they may have natural or organic ingredients, but when you look at the nutrition breakout on the nutrition facts panel, nutritionally, they're really the same as these kind of old legacy brands. And nutritionally, they're not really doing anything positive for your body. And it kind of led me to this question of like, why is that? You know, why is it that the best that we can do with snacks is that they're empty calories? And in that moment, when I was thinking about this, I thought of the snack that I ate when I was growing up, which was a roasted chickpea, essentially. And, you know, my ethnic background, I'm Indian. I also grew up being vegetarian. So I ate a lot of foods in the legumes category, which is basically beans, lentils, chickpeas. And so in that moment, I thought of this roasted chickpea snack that I ate growing up. And it kind of led me to like, oh, I wonder, you know, I'm trying to be healthy. Maybe that's something I can make for myself here at home. And so that's what really got me started. And when I had that idea, never having made something like this on my own before, I started looking into it. And that's where really my professional background, you know, working in the food space really kicked in, and working on nutritionally driven products. It just opened my eyes to the potential opportunity. And I realized that, wow, there is this amazing category of ingredients, legumes, which have all these wonderful properties that are not really commercialized in the United States. They're not that well known, but they have a lot of the qualities that Americans want, which is that they're high in protein, high in fiber, naturally free of the top 8 food allergens. And so I thought like, this is something that's very interesting. So I started experimenting in my own kitchen, and that's when it kind of hit me like, wow, I could create something that's crunchy and crispy, and you can flavor it in different ways. And if you could take something that's both a protein and a vegetable, and you can replace kind of potato chips with that, you know, that's a hugely positive step in terms of replacing kind of a junk food snack with something that's much better for you. So that was really the evolution of the insight that led me to create the brand.
Yeah, and that's really cool because, like you said, when you founded Vienna Snacks back in 2012, you were a pioneer in a lot of ways. I didn't see much in the way of roasted chickpeas outside of Devon Avenue, the Indian section of Chicago. I might have noticed it at Whole Foods. I don't know, but now there are a lot of companies that seem to have had your same idea, maybe copied off your paper, as they say. And we're seeing a few brands that are like impulse based snacks, chickpea based snacks. Could you talk a little bit about how you navigated that new territory early on and the path you've taken from then to now?
Yeah, it has really changed a lot. You know, back in like when we were launching, I was really explaining what this concept is to buyers and consumers. Mm-hmm. And not to say that we don't explain it today, but it's really a very different place. You know, consumer education and buyer education has really evolved. And so when I was first pitching the brand to retailers and consumers, I was really having to explain this idea that, oh, you can take a chickpea, which is basically a different type of bean, and you can roast it and you can eat it crunchy like it's a snack. And really the pitch for buyers at the time was combining that kind of illustration of what is this to help, first of all, just explaining to people what it is so that they can wrap their heads around it. But then for buyers and retailers, really, it was showing them consumer trends data. Like, look, there is a lot of interest in protein-based snacks. You know, there is interest in gluten-free. You know, there is interest in healthier snacks in general. So showing the consumer trends data that the brand of the products aligned with. And then lastly, building up our own retail data, right? Once we were in the first set of stores, we could start building up the data to say, hey, we know this is a really new concept. We know you may not have heard about it before. Let me show you the data. You know, this is our data. It shows that people are actually buying the snack again, not just trying it once. But look, they're curious enough to try it once, and then they like the experience of the food and they're coming back and they're buying it again. And so really it was at the time explaining all three of those things that created that initial success of the first set of placements and the next set of, you know, placements that we got in terms of distribution. But we really were, you know, one of the main pioneers. And you contrast that today, going back to your question, you know, where, you know, we are number one in the category nationally by far, but the difference is that people know what the category is, mm-hmm. and our brand has built up a reputation, a positive reputation, so people know who we are. And now there is a category, there's a subcategory to speak of. You know, it's not just Vienna, there's, you know, 5 to 10 other brands that are participating in the roasted bean snack space, which now includes not just chickpeas, but it includes fava, it includes lentils, you know, there's other types of black beans, there's other types of ingredients in there as well.
Yeah. And as a consumer who's trying to eat healthier, I appreciate what you're doing. And it's this is no brags, but as a snack journalist, I get lots of samples. And your brand is one of the ones that this is not a play for free product, by the way.
I'm happy to send you some.
We can talk about that later, but I appreciate that it's available so widely. Like the tiny little Target near Loyola's campus, it's a very small footprint, and yet they have an end cap of healthier, healthful snacks, and that includes at least two flavors of the roasted chickpeas, which
I spent my own money on.
That speaks well to my love of the product. And I'm spending my own money on it. So yay, good for you.
Awesome. Yeah, no, thank you for supporting the brand. I was just going to add, you know, the one thing we talked about what's changed from when we launched the brand versus now. But what I'll add is that the reason we've been so successful is because there's other things that have not changed and they've persisted, which is the consumer trends. And so the consumer trend and the desire for protein-based snacks, the consumer trend around people wanting to eat more healthy and leaning into plant-forward foods, or the trend around wanting to eat gluten-free or watch the amount of gluten you're consuming. Some of Vienna is successful because we are, all of those trends are relevant to our brand. You know, we are not just a gluten-free brand, for example, right? That's kind of a tertiary positioning for us. Our number one positioning is we're a healthy snack. And so that desire from the US population and the everyday consumer continues to only increase. And so because we relate to multiple trends and all of those trends are things that people continue to want, that's a big reason why we've been successful and we continue to be successful for so long. So,
Well, now that your brand has been around for journalists, not great at math, but 11 years, that's not that hard. Mm-hmm. I got there. Could you talk a little bit more about some of the challenges and obstacles that you and the company encountered along the journey? Any lessons that you learned, things that you'd do different if you could do it over again? Advice you could offer to other brands looking to
learn? Yeah, I mean, I think, and you know, and I talk to founders every week. That's like one of the best parts of my job is just like meeting other founders, talking to other founders. And then of course, now that I have more experience, you know, helping founders who are somewhere earlier in their journey. And I think, you know, so obstacles or challenges along the way, starting from kind of small to the biggest, I think probably one, understanding how the snack space works and how, you know, we figured out pretty quickly that this product line was exciting to consumers and to retailers. And we were launching at a time where the natural food trend was still growing and there was a lot of interest in our products. And so we could get the items placed. It's always, you know, for founders and for any brand, a consumer brand, the question is always about how do you get it to move once you get it on the shelf, right? And so learning about the dynamics of the snack industry and how you think about that and how you work with retail partners and with consumers to really drive demand and volume. That was probably the first challenge. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a whole other challenge around learning the natural food industry and learning, you know, even though I worked on really, really large food brands, those brands go to market in a very, very different way than when you're a smaller or emerging brand. And so learning the ins and outs of, you know, distributors, retailers, all the policies around them, mm-hmm. broker partners, you know, and all the other supply chain partners, all of that, you know, learning the ins and outs of the food industry itself, I think was kind of a whole other set of obstacles. And then lastly, I would say were the more, in some ways, more common challenges of scaling a business, right? Mm-hmm. And so all of the business functions from sales to operations to production, HR, finance, you know, all of those pieces. And this industry is a complex one. You know, this is a very different business than say a direct to consumer business. Like if we want to change our pricing, for example, we don't just change our pricing on our website, right? There's a whole cycle of and a number of activities that go into changing our pricing. And that's just one example. Not to mention things like managing deductions, you know, and so yeah. There's just a complexity. I would say this business that we're in of consumer products being sold through retail, you know, on the one hand, what's incredible about it is that if you get a set of products that really, that the consumer really loves and is making an impact, you have an ability to make a huge impact because where else can you reach millions and millions of people and make such an impact on people's day-to-day lives, right? And, you know, versus in terms of the food that you're consuming, food plays such a central role in everyone's lives. So you have this opportunity for big impact. At the same time, there's big risk. And there's a very high, it may not seem like it, but there's actually a pretty high barrier to entry, you know, in our industry to really make it and to succeed. There's a lot that you need, which a new entrepreneur starting from scratch, you know, at zero, like I did, there's no way you're going to know all that unless you've done it before, or you surround yourself with people who have done it before and can, mm-hmm. can you know, provide some of that guidance, which is how I did it, you know? So I think just, you know, learning how to scale a business in our category and industry, I think that's like a big challenge for entrepreneurs.
Coming on the tail of that, talking about the partnerships and the allies and the colleagues that you met with and connected with along the way. Can you talk a little bit more about the partnerships that you did manage to forge with people and companies that helped you along the way? If there are any like people you want to shout out by name, that's totally fine with me.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I would say, you know, ultimately it's trite, but it's true. Like your people are everything. Right. And so, but for us, I would say there was a number of different types of partnerships that were really critical to our success early on. And, you know, it started with retailers, but then it, you know, quickly went to distributor partnerships, broker partnerships, as well as, you know, suppliers and consumers. If you want to talk about specific people, you know, one of my earliest advisors is someone named John Maggiore, who is well known in our industry. And, you know, John, I actually met him through a seminar that I attended that he was running, which was a seminar that still goes on today that entrepreneurs I know really enjoy and find to be very valuable. And I met him there, reached out to him afterwards, and we started working together. And, you know, to this day, he continues to be an advisor to me and our team at Bienna. And so, you know, finding somebody like that who really knows the ins and outs of the industry, but also is well connected. You know, I think John ended up also connecting me to some of my first team members and employees that I hired for time. And so, you know, he's an example of someone that was really instrumental in me finding some of our early partners and team members. And then in terms of retailers, you know, Whole Foods was one of our first, very, very first customers, as well as some of the other, you know, independent retailers in the Boston area. So we're based in Boston. And so I think that was a critical part of our success, because I was able to do some testing and learning in the independent stores around the Boston area. And at the same time, I was able to kind of hook into Whole Foods and, you know, grow kind of from store to store. Then we went regional at Whole Foods, and we got into like two or three more regions. And then eventually a few years later, we went national. And so having, you know, a national partner like that was also critical to our success. Target was our second major retailer as well. And so that was, you know, that really, between those two retailers, it really created a lot of access to our products nationally pretty early on. And it also was critical to building out our, you know, our data story and really just proving that this is a product line and a brand that can succeed, not just in one city or in one part of the country, but really that there's, you know, nationally there's demand for a brand like this.
That's great. Let's talk a little bit about your products. We haven't given you the chance to like tell us all about all the products, because your 10 plus year history, Bienna Snacks has continued innovating and you've launched a bunch of different stuff. I was wondering if you could tell us about some of your product offerings, and especially the newest product, the Tasty Thins line.
Yeah, sure. You know, it's Tasty Thins has been really an exciting journey for us. It's been in the market for just about 8 months or so. But, you know, prior to that, we were working on it for, you know, another 18 months, you know, 18 to 24 months prior to that. And so internally, this was a concept that evolved and, you know, took on different formats and things. But ultimately, this Tasty Thins is a very, very differentiated concept in Better For You Snacks. It is the first chip that has 35 chips in a serving. And it's really, you know, that's critical, because essentially it's filling a gap in the market for lower calorie snacks that you can just eat normally. If you're somebody who's trying to eat healthier or thinking about watching your weight, you know, we realize that vast majority of chips in the market are not really designed for the way that people eat snacks and people eat chips. You know, how do most people eat chips? They open up the bag and then they just start eating. The average chip, it turns out, has about 7 to 15 chips in a serving. No one is counting how many chips they're eating. Mm-hmm. Vast majority of people are eating more than that at a given time. And that's because no one really has any awareness. And why should they necessarily, that, oh, wow, one serving of this, you know, chip product is 7 to 15 chips. And so we saw this data that basically said that 53% of Americans are on a diet at any given time. Mm-hmm. And when they're asked, you know, what is it that you're looking for in the foods that you're consuming? You know, the top two things that they talk about is, I want to eat foods that are healthy for me, and I want to be able to eat more vegetables. I'm trying to look for easy ways to eat more vegetables. And so when we looked at the chip aisle, which chips are still the number one snacking format in the United States by far, potato chips and tortilla chips are the top two snacking categories. There's really not a single chip that is, you know, meant to be a low calorie option where you can just eat and eat and eat and not have to really worry about your portions or not have to think about that in the slightest bit. So we went out, we created it, you know, so Tasty Thins, like I said, it's the first chip with 35 chips in a serving, mm-hmm. very low in calories per chip. And it's had the number one ingredient is chickpeas. So it's more nutrient based, nutritionally based versus the average chip where the number one ingredient is a potato.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm trying to think. Oh, I should probably, before I let you go, I should ask, what's next for Vienna Snacks?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, we're really excited about the spaces that we're in, and we see a lot of opportunity. You know, it is amazing. People talk about, like, people use this phrase, the snackification of America, right? Mm-hmm. And it's this idea. I think there's multiple ideas in there, but central to those ideas is that people are not eating 3 square meals a day anymore. People are grazing throughout the day. Mm-hmm. They're no longer looking at their snacks as just kind of a throwaway filler food, but they're looking to their snacks as, like, true opportunities for nutrition. And, you know, the amount of kind of eating occasions going towards snacking has fundamentally increased during the day for the average American. And so our mission from the beginning has really been about recreating the snack aisle so that people can snack better and live better. And so we feel like there's a lot of room for us to play within the different categories of snacking that we play in. And so, you know, we're already really in two different categories, with the roasted chickpeas line being in alternative plant-based snacks. Mm-hmm. And then we have the Tasty Thins, which are really, we're entering kind of traditional, the traditional chip aisle. And so we think that within those two categories and the adjacencies around it, there's a lot of opportunity for us to continue to live into that mission. So we're excited to continue to grow awareness of the current products and then also continue to innovate, you know, within those spaces.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see what you do, because it's been fun following you so far.
Thank you, yeah.
Well, thanks for spending time with us. I'm sure our audience will appreciate the insights that you've lent, the advice that you'd offered. So thank you very much for your time, Purvi.
All right, thank you so much.